Thank you for that message and song, reminding us of the holiness of God. Would you take your Bibles, please? I'm going to have you turn to two portions of Scripture, but only one at a time. We're going to start with the book of Jude. If you don't know what that is, go to the book of Revelation and turn back a page. And there she'll be, right before your eyes. Jude. I am in a situation this morning similar to that of Jude. You'll understand why in just a moment. In Jude 3, still finding it? Okay, good. Jude 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." What he's saying there basically is this: I'd rather write to you about salvation. I'd rather preach about salvation. I'd rather spend time acknowledging the wonders of the gospel, how righteousness meets love at the cross. God's righteousness demands punishment for sin, and God's love provides an individual, God Almighty, the Son, to pay for that punishment. I'd rather do that, but he said, there's a problem. Right now, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That is the body of knowledge that we have in the Scriptures now. Why? Verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." That is, oh, God's grace is that God loves everybody and doesn't make any difference what you do. God just loves everybody. You can live like you want. It's okay. "Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed." I want to warn you that there's judgment coming for wickedness. Verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I judged mankind, I judged angels." And verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." I'm not going to read the rest of the passage, but he's saying, I want to remind you that God is holy and that a holy God punishes sin. I'd like to talk to you about all the blessings that you have in Christ. But there's a situation, he says, right now that I have to deal with. In this case, it was the matter of false teachers and people who were supposedly religious, teaching things and bringing things about that were not at all biblically right. Now let's go over to the second passage of Scripture that I want to share with you this morning. It's in the book of Genesis. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to have to sort of summarize the story, so oil your eyeballs a little bit so they can move across the page quickly, will you? Make sure that you can follow along because I want you to hear this. I want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. Genesis chapter 13. You are familiar, some of you, most of you should be familiar with the story of Abraham and Lot. Abram and Lot, Genesis chapter 13, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. They were both sheep herders, and they got to a certain place, and there was not enough grazing ground and water, necessary things for both of them to exist together because they had plenty each. The land was not able to bear them, it says in verse 6. And verse 7, the employees of Lot got into haranguing and fist fights or whatever with the employees of Abraham. There's, you know, and they're fighting over grazing lands and all this sort of thing. And so you know the story that Abram says, okay, Lot, you choose whatever you want. That's fine. And whatever you don't choose, that I'll take. And so it says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before, that is, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. And that place, whatever it must have been like, it must have been fantastic, like the garden of God that was there. Verse 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and so he journeyed east. Verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now let's go over to chapter 18. We're going to continue the story. Lot finds himself in business in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 18, starting with verse 17. Some angels came to visit Abraham and they said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is that Sarah, your wife, yes, Sarah, your wife, she's going to have a baby. And of course, she doesn't believe that. She's behind the tent flap laughing. She doesn't believe it, but God says it's going to happen. That's the good news. The good news is I'm going to bless you with the grace of God. Wonderful example of God's loving grace and kindness. But the bad news is this. You know where your nephew is, Lot? Over there, I'm going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to be destroyed. Instead of grace, there's going to be wrath. Sad, sad story. And so Abraham prays, Lord, but what if there's a few righteous there? And you can read the passage. What if there are just a few? And God says, I won't destroy it if there's just a few there. In this case, he said he wouldn't. Time moves on a little bit. Then we get to chapter 10 of Genesis chapter 19. It says, there came two angels to Sodom at even, that's evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, which means that he probably had a place of authority in that town. And Lot, seeing them, rose up, bowed down to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Come on over to my house tonight, spend the night. Tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. Washing the feet was just a matter of being hospitable, and come on, settle in. Their towels are in the cupboard and all that sort of thing like we would do today. And they said, no, we're going to stay in the streets all night. Ooh. Lot says in verse 3, he says, he pressed upon them greatly. He said, don't do that. They turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, just a minute before we read on, the Bible speaks plainly about certain things, and so I'm going to speak plainly about them and try to be as discreet as I possibly can in this message today. Verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young men, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. The men of the city wanted to have sexual experiences with the two angels or angel-like men that had stayed the night with Lot. That's what they wanted. That's what it means, okay? Verse 6, Lot went out at the door and said unto them, he shut the door behind him, guys, don't do this. Don't do this to my friends here. And then something unbelievable Lot does. Verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you can do whatever them what you want to. But don't bother these men. We'll have to deal with that at another time, but how horrid that would be. Verse 9, they said, stand back. They said again, this one fellow came into sojourn. He will needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. You think you're something, Lot? You're an outsider. You haven't been in here that long, and you're telling us what we can do? Oh, no, you're not. And they just about broke the door down. The two men on the inside reached through, reopened the door a little bit, and grabbed Lot and pulled him in. And it says in verse 11 that God smote the men on the outside with blindness. And you know the rest of the story. The angels eventually rescue Lot and his wife and his two daughters, but they had to drag them out of town. And then God brings down fire and brimstone on this wicked place. Now, our text for today reveals three important thoughts that I want to share with you. Number one is this. Lot, in order to gain an economic advantage, moves to the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked, vile place of moral filth and debauchery. Second, Sodom may have been a great place to run a business, but it was a lousy place to raise kids. And third, any city or country or municipality that legislates immorality and debauchery is a municipality that is destined for judgment. I have here in my hands an official document provided by the Goshen City Council, and it's entitled Moving Goshen Forward. I'm going to talk to you about this issue today, not just to get you to be politically active. That's not the purpose, although I hope that you will be morally active and do something. And I'll say that in just a little while, but I'm going to refer to this a number of times. Moving Goshen Forward. I have entitled my message this morning, Moving Goshen Backward. Moving Goshen Backward. Now, I want to define some terms. GLBT. Anybody know what GLBT is? Let me tell you. GLBT. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual. Gay. Boys and men who are attracted to boys and men sexually. Lesbian. Women and girls attracted to women in a perverted way. Bisexual. Attracted to both sides, men or women attracted to both. Transsexual, males or females who have had a physical operation to change the outward appearance of what they were born. Okay? GLBT. Now, the Goshen City Council wants to add another category to this, and I'm going to have to define it several times throughout the message because it's so bizarre, it's hard to understand. I'm going to be as careful as I can. But basically what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to add sexual orientation or gender identity to the list of protected classes. There are certain classes that are protected, you know, race, religion, color, sex, disability, national origin, ancestry, and all that. And they want to make sure that employers don't discriminate against these people and not hire them, and they want to make sure that people who own houses and apartments don't discriminate against these folks who have gender identity confusion. They don't want to discriminate against them. I will talk a little bit more about that in just what are they saying? All we want to do is these people, this new class that we're going to call gender identity confused, if you want to say it that way, we want to give them equal ability to get a job and to have a place to live. And so we want to put them into a minority class, along with blacks or Hispanics or, you know, whatever it is, Asians, whatever it is. We want to put this group, gender identity type people, in that. Are you confused yet? Wait, just wait a little while. I'll try to clear it up a little bit for you. They're telling us this right here. It says, what this ordinance will not do is this. It won't regulate hiring within churches and religious institutions. It won't legalize gay marriage. It won't require domestic partner benefits. It won't create hiring quotas. But it will get us closer to all of those things. They don't say that in there, but it will. It will get us closer. Now, and they say, why do we need this? We want to prevent discrimination from happening in the workplace and in housing. We want to establish Goshen as an inclusive community that encourages healthy debate and thrives with a diversity of opinions, but that does not tolerate discrimination. That's what we want to do. Now, where's the discrimination? I don't know where it's been. I don't know what, you know, they haven't said where it's been. Who's being discriminated against? I have in my pocket here a handy dandy copy of the Constitution of the United States and also the one of Indiana. And let me read to you something. This is the one from Indiana. No law shall in any case whatever control the free exercise and enjoyment of religious opinions. No law shall do that, and no law shall interfere with the rights of someone's personal conscience. That means that if I own an apartment complex and I feel that it is wrong for me to rent to people that are immoral, I shouldn't have to rent to them, according to the Constitution, but I mean, who goes by that anymore, you know? State or federal means that if I own the Dairy Queen or Cook's Pizza or whatever it is, and I don't want to hire somebody that's going to give my business a bad name or a bad image because I know their lifestyle, I can't refuse to hire them. And if I do, they can bring a lawsuit against me for discrimination. See? It's in the Constitution there, but, you know, who uses those anymore? Gender identity. Let me give you some definitions now, okay? Gender identity, it's a person's sense of being male or female. A person's sense. Confused yet? They give all kinds of illustrations of other municipalities and states that have put in these laws, ordinances, but they don't state specifically, and I don't have time to give you the detail, but they don't state specifically that all of these municipalities have given special minority status to gender identity people. But they want to just sort of glisser and, you know, kind of gliss over, gloss over, and make it very, well, everybody's doing it, we need to do it too. That's what they're saying. The Goshen City Council. They list 45 employees in Goshen that have sexual orientation and or gender identity non-discrimination places. One of them happens to be Goshen College. It doesn't say that how many of these include gender identity. It just says, you know, they have this or that. They say, well, this is not going to encourage cross-dressing in the workplace. Here's what it says. Employees retain the right to appropriate dress according to the employee's gender identity. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. We are
going to pass an ordinance that says that if you think you're a woman, we can require you to dress like a woman. But if you think you're a man, we're going to require you to dress like a man. That's what it says.
Now, scratch your head and get splinters in your fingers a little while. Think about this a little bit. What are they proposing? They say, we got to do it right now because of the economic upheaval. We need to define what we are as a city, and we need to show people what we're going to become so that they will be attracted to our city with their commerce. You mean Goshen City Council? You want to be like Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that what you want? And they list Indiana-based companies with inclusive policies, including Notre Dame and Manchester College. But they don't say these ones have gender identity protection, minority protection. Business reason for this? One word, competitiveness. Competitiveness. They quote a guy from Hewlett-Packard, says, not just a nice thing to do, it's a requirement in order to have a successfully, economically strong city. Don't tell Will Cashin that, the guy from Electric Motor Company who wants to come here. He came here. He wanted to come here because of the family-oriented place. So don't tell him about it. They have all kinds of things that they cite. Some of them are actually insulting to you and to me. They say diversity and inclusion are key components to attracting the next generation of educated workers called knowledge workers. They view diversity and tolerance as marks of sophistication. Did you get that insult? If you don't agree with them, you're not sophisticated. And you're not a knowledge worker. Oh, but they say Goshen lags behind others. They don't either. There are very few cities. Of the hundreds and thousands of municipalities in the United States of America, very few of them have an ordinance like Goshen is wanting to pass. I started out with three observations. One, to gain economic advantage, Lot moved to the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, a place of vile, perverted, moral filth and wickedness. Two, Sodom may have been a great place to run a business, but a lousy place to raid kids. Third, any city or country or municipality that legislates immorality and debauchery is destined for judgment. Do you see any parallels here? First, we're being told by the Goshen City Council, maybe not all of them on there. I don't want to broad brush the whole thing. There may be some folks on that council that are against it. And more power to them. May they speak and speak loudly. The Goshen City Council says that to gain economic advantage, we need to pitch our tent towards Sodom. And second, we need to be a great place to run a business, even though it will bring the morality of the place down and it will hurt our children. Now, they don't say that, but that's the truth. And third, the title of this piece of paper, Moving Goshen Forward, is accurate because if Ordinance 4551 passes, the city of Goshen will move the city of Goshen forward and closer to wholesale acceptance of any and all kind of forms of twisted, immoral, wicked debauchery. And it will move Goshen forward toward judgment. Now remember, I just want you to think clearly about this. I want you to understand what we're talking about here. Gender identity is the perceived gender of a person, regardless of how that person was conceived or born. Okay, going to try to be as careful as I can here. Imagine a young couple from Goshen 5-10 years from now. They find out they're pregnant. Oh, wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. And then about 3, 4, 5, 6 months in, they go and get one of those ultrasounds, you know. And the nurse turns to him and says, "It's a boy. We know clearly that it's a boy. For certain, it's a boy." And the father of the boy that's going to be born soon says, "Well, maybe, maybe." It depends on how he perceives himself later on. That's what they're talking about in the land of Goshen. How sad it is. How sad it is. Imagine the sign, you know, somebody has a baby. It's a boy! You know, and there's a blue thing over there. They have a girl. It's a girl! Imagine these folk. It's a... We'll have to wait a while. Can you imagine that? Listen to this. The United States government hasn't even allowed for gender identity as a minority class. In 2007, ENDA, the Employment Act, pushed by none other than Barney Frank. If you know who he is, you know that we're talking about the same area of disagreement and discussion here. They put the bill forward, but he took that out of there. He knew it wouldn't pass, and so he took it out, and they sent it through another track without the gender identity part in it. Barney Frank did that. Why? Because he didn't think they were quite ready for it, I presume. But whatever they did pass and will pass will get us closer to that. That's the point. We are slouching toward Sodom. Robert Bork wrote a book years ago, Slouching Toward Sodom. That's what we are doing in our country. And the Goshen City Council is helping with this bizarre notion that even the majority of the U.S. Congress is against. I could say so much about it, but there's two things I want to communicate to you. One is this gender identity thing is listed in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Psychiatric mental disorders, it's in there. They'll probably take it out, like they've taken out a lot of other things that are morally debauched, but it's in there. And so what Goshen wants to do is want to protect these people with this psychotic disorder. They don't know whether they're a man or they're a woman. They don't know. But then they find out. And it's got nothing to do with the body that they received when they were conceived and that grew in their mother's womb and then was born. It's got nothing to do with that. A gender identity ordinance will codify the idea, listen carefully, that a person can arbitrarily change his or her gender, and then it will grant to them a legal protection for their concept of who and what they are as a minority status. What will this do? How will this work out? Well, let me give you an example. It will make it impossible to limit males to the men's restrooms or to the men's saunas or to the men's whatever. It will make it impossible to do that. If a man claims that he self-identifies as a woman, the government or business dare not deny him access to a women's restroom, because if they do, he can sue them because they are discriminating against him because he is a minority status. He thinks he's a woman. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You're going to choke. Imagine a police officer. Be right there. He goes in, and there's McDonald's, and here's these people at McDonald's, you know, little ladies with those funny little hats on. There's a man in the women's restroom. So the policeman goes in there, and he can clearly see that it's a man, not a woman. And he tells the person, he says, listen, you can't be in here. This is a woman's restroom. He said, yes, I can. I'm a woman. No, you're not. You're a man. I'm a woman. You're a man. I'm a woman. What's that police officer going to do? I don't know, go out and get a hamburger and Coke and fries and leave, I guess. What else is he going to do? And what about the woman that's in there that knows she's a woman and she's a real woman? She can sue the restaurant for allowing that guy to come in there, if they allow him to come in. Do you see the legal ramifications of this and the confusion? It's absolutely ludicrous. The cost for government and private business because of legal concerns is going to be astronomical. I hope you get the point. I'm not for the ordinance, if I haven't been clear yet. Moving Goshen forward, yes. Forward, closer to chaos, confusion, and the judgment of God. Remember in Genesis chapter 18, you're already there, I think. I want to show you something. This is a concept that most people do not understand and don't get. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. Genesis 18:20, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I'm going to go judge them. What is the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah? Are they down there going, boo-hoo-hoo? No, they're not doing that. It's talking about the same thing that God said to Cain back in Genesis chapter 4 when God said to Cain, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. Your brother's blood cries out for justice. Here in this passage, In Genesis chapter 18, the wickedness of Sodom is so great that it cries out to God for judgment. The cry of Sodom is great. People don't see that as a concept anymore at all. What do you mean, cry? What is that? Listen, this is a righteous and moral universe because of God. And when God says something is wrong, it's wrong. And if a nation makes itself more convenient to do the wrong things and legislates law and does all that stuff over and over and over again, God will judge that nation because that nation, the wickedness of that nation is crying out to the holiness of God saying, judge me. The cry of Goshen is calling out for the judgment of God. Well, I just think we should be nice and love everybody. And yeah, we ought to be nice and we ought to tell the truth. I hope that those of you that live in Goshen will call. I've put the list of the Goshen City Council thing in your bulletin insert. I hope you'll call them this afternoon and email. Don't be unkind. Don't be unkind. Say, we don't want this ordinance. We don't need this ordinance. I hope that you'll do that. I hope you'll pray for those people. They're going to have a meeting tomorrow night. I heard that the meeting is going to be so big they can't have it at their regular place. There's going to be some discussion. And I hope that the Christians that are there control themselves and speak concise truth. I was going to go speak, but I'm not going to because I'm not from Goshen. Got another engagement I have to be at. But I called them and asked them about it, and they said I could have 3 minutes, and that is all. And in that 3 minutes, I couldn't say anything else that anybody else has already said. Well, I don't like that second part. Well, I don't really like the first part either, but especially this, you know, as a preacher, I don't like 3 minutes. But the second part I really don't like because I'd like to say it my way to those people. And I was informed by someone who has done a lot of this kind of thing. They've already got their mind made up. They got their speeches done. Whatever you say isn't going to make a bit of difference anyway. If that's true, that's really sad. But that doesn't mean that you and I shouldn't call and email. And I hope that you will. These are good folks. I won't say they're good folks. I don't know where they are or not. Some of them maybe are. But none of these people on this list, Daryl Ritzicker, Harlan Lance, Dixie Robinson, Julia Gouch, Everett Thompson, Thomas Stump, Jeremy Stutzman, Alan Kaufman. None of them should get a nap this afternoon. None of them. Their phone should be ringing right off the hook. And none of them should go unprayed for this afternoon and tomorrow. Now, let me just say this and we're going to quit. My 3 minutes is up. You may not be gay, lesbian, blah, 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 gender, whatever. You may be none of that. But you're a sinner. And your sin cries out to God for judgment, just like mine does. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cries out to the Father for mercy. And when you put your trust in Jesus alone, even if you are one of these things, He will cleanse and forgive you for that. And He'll make you what you need to be. He'll save you. But even if you're not one of these things, even if all of these things are socially detestable to you, you are still a sinner. And you still need salvation through Jesus and through Jesus alone. Will you trust Him as Savior? Let's bow our heads and hearts together in prayer. Father, have mercy upon us today, we pray, for anyone here who may think that, well, he or she, that I'm better than that stuff that he's talked about today. Well, they may be. But they're still sinners. They still need to be saved by the grace of God. Draw them to yourself. And Lord, I pray for those people who are going to be at that meeting, the Christians and moral people, just good moral people, Christian or not, who stand up and speak against this. Give them clarity and conciseness. And I pray for those people on the Goshen City Council. Make them afraid of God Almighty, who judged Sodom and Gomorrah for its wickedness. May the fear of God be upon their hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn book, please, and turn to hymn number 309.